Air America Radio News. I'm Bill Crowley. American officials say the alleged plotters of a terrorist attack on transatlantic airplane flights were planning a rehearsal within a couple of days, with the actual attack to follow soon after. They are saying these targets were 10 flights from Britain to a number of U.S. airports, specifically including Washington Dulles, New York's Kennedy, and Los Angeles International. The attackers had reportedly planned to ignite a peroxide-based solution using a camera flash or other electronic device as a trigger. The rehearsal, reportedly designed to see whether they could get the materials past security. Meanwhile, officials in Pakistan are claiming their intelligence operation helped the British crack the plot and arrest several plotters. Airports around the country today tightened security, passengers waiting hours to get to the checkpoints, and passengers were forced to dump out the liquids from bottles of suntan lotion, toothpaste, and other stuff because this plot reportedly involved liquid explosives. George Bush says the alleged terror plot in Britain is a, quote, stark reminder that this nation is at war with Islamic fascists. Speaking at an airfield in Green Bay, Wisconsin, Bush went on to say America is safer than it was prior to 9/11 because the government has taken a lot of measures to protect people, but he added, quote, obviously we're not completely safe because there are people still plotting. Bush flew from his Texas ranch to Wisconsin for events there, including a Republican fundraiser. On his first full day as an independent candidate, Connecticut Senator Joe Lieberman made an appearance to thank people who voted for him in this week's Democratic primary, which he lost to Ned Lamont. And Lieberman says he's worried people don't understand what he calls the seriousness of the threat to American security. The suspect accused of killing one woman and wounding five others at the offices of a Seattle Jewish group apparently wants to plead guilty. That's what his lawyer is telling the judge today during the arraignment for Naveed Afzal Haq. He faces murder, attempted murder, and other charges in the July 28th rampage at the Jewish Federation of Greater Seattle. An Israeli soldier killed in fighting with Hezbollah guerrillas today. This comes as Israel grabs strategic high ground in southern Lebanon. However, Israel says they are delaying a new ground offensive in Lebanon to give diplomacy at the United Nations a chance to work. This is Air America Radio News.
not completely safe. Because there are people that still plot. And people who want to harm us for what we believe in. It is a mistake to believe there is no threat to the United States of America.
Yeah, but we're trying to get you out of office. And then the threat will disappear. Good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on Air America Radio. It's about 7 past the hour. I don't know what to add to everything that's been bandied around today about today's terror threats and averted plots, except I will mention this because it came in an email a few minutes ago. How many U.S. soldiers in Iraq were sent to England to arrest those new terror suspects? That's right, Mike, zero. The administration is making this out to be the biggest win in the war on terror, and the arrests were made by policemen. The war on terror is a police action and will not be won with the help of, and will be won with the help of the world's police, not the U.S. Army. Yeah, just like, yeah, we've talked about that before. Once the decision was made that, the official decision was made that there were organizers at the September 11th, 2001 attack on this country, it should have been a simple matter, simple in planning. Not in execution, but simple in planning to say, okay, here are the 10 people we're going to go get. But no, George Bush had to invade Iraq. Anyway, what happened today, what was announced today, raises the question in my mind, was this a test case for late October? You know, see how the American people will poll after a red alert like we had today. See if it gave the Republicans or the Bush crime family a bounce. This is how cynical I've become. This is how, take out the word cynical. This is how realistic I've become. These Bush crime family members, they tear it off, please. But let's see how it polls. Let's see if this jerks the American public back into the fear and terror column where they belong. So they'll continue to vote for Republicans, because every American knows that the Republicans have done such a jam-up job of protecting the homeland. Or was it real? Huh? Was it real? Did the British police and British intelligence stumble onto something that was real? Or discover something? I don't mean to denigrate the police. Discover something that was real? If it was real, what did our huge new bureaucratic behemoth, the Department of Homeland Security, what did it do to avert the planned murder of hundreds of transatlantic travelers, huh? Did somebody hand Raisin Brain a big fat memo titled, Al-Qaeda determined to crash 10 airlines on August 10th, 2006? No, really, I mean it. Read this one, okay? Really, really, George, read this one. You didn't read the other one. Terror in the Sky is the font on MSNBC. Terror in the Sky. Boy, knocked the Lieberman debacle and bloody Mideast war right off the TV screens, huh? Way to ratchet up the fear and terror. So, all right, let's see how it plays in the heartland. Let's see if the folks in Peoria are giving a standing O, or if they just sit on their hands and are not interested. Terror in the Sky. That cuts right to the primordial midbrain, doesn't it? Terror in the Sky. It's like when we were back, primates swinging in the trees, and our parents taught us, hold on to branch. Like snakes on a plane or shakes on a plane. Huh? We're going to get to all this. But I completely forgot something this week that I'm in the habit of mentioning every year. This past Sunday, August 6th, 61 years ago, August 6th, 1945, three American planes flying at an altitude of just under 31,000 feet entered the skies over Hiroshima, Japan, an industrial town which had been spared from much bombing during the war. And because it had been spared, provided scientists and military planners with the opportunity to learn what the effects of this new weapon would be on various types of structures. There was actually something called the Target Committee at Los Alamos. And on May 10th, prior to the bombing, they had recommended Kyoto, Hiroshima, Yokohama, and the arsenal at Kokura as possible targets. But, you see, the committee rejected the use of this new weapon against a strictly military objective because of the chance of missing a small target not surrounded by a large urban area. Factored into the attack on Hiroshima were the psychological effects on Japan. This was of great importance to the committee members. They also agreed that the initial use of the weapon should be sufficiently spectacular for its importance to be internationally recognized, kind of like a 1940s version of shock and awe. Now, one of the planes dropped a single bomb, nicknamed Little Boy. Little Boy. The bomb detonated at about 1,900 feet above the ground, and the atomic blast which resulted killed nearly 80,000 people instantly. One moment they were conscious, the next moment they were dead. It also caused the deaths by radiation poisoning and other causes of some 60,000 more before that year ended. And then lingering effects of radiation poisoning would claim over the years many, many more. According to the city of Hiroshima, the death toll because of the bombing is now right at 250,000 and continues to rise at the rate of about 5,000 a year due to the after effects. Now, of course, that is the law of diminishing returns comes into play there, because eventually the people who were alive on that day will all be dead of one cause or another. At that point, there will be no more deaths from radiation poisoning. There will still be deformities and genetic damage, but no more deaths. Now, most of us are still in denial about what happened on that day. And you have to admit that it was kind of perverted to give an atomic weapon a cute name. Little Boy. 3 days later, Fat Man was dropped on Nagasaki. That would have been yesterday. The bombing of Hiroshima and Nagasaki is the... are both the template for an act of terror by a nation, us. The people who were incinerated in Hiroshima and Nagasaki were civilians, and that's the way it was planned. Now, people always like to say when talking about Iraq, well, you know, Bush loves to say this, I didn't think I'd be sitting in a room, you know, my dad fought against him, and here we are. We use the same tooth. No, that's Tony Blair. He likes to talk about how Japan came around. Look how Japan came around. Well, when you have three of your cities utterly destroyed, Hiroshima, Nagasaki, and Tokyo, which was firebombed and burned to the ground, and then an occupying force comes in and dictates how things are going to be, yeah, look how Japan came around. Fat Man and Little Boy. The dropping of those two nuclear weapons by the United States. One was a nuclear weapon. The other one, I believe the second one, was a thermonuclear weapon. Or perhaps not. Maybe they're both just nuclear. But it was a grand experiment to see what would happen. There was no need for it, and if your Uncle Charlie was part of the force that had been told they were going to have to invade Japan by land, and the U.S. would take a million casualties, and yada, 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 please, 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 I'm begging you not to email me. I've heard that story before. It's nonsense. It's utter nonsense. So, this comes around every August, and will continue to do so, I guess forever, until the next time the United States uses nuclear weapons against someone. And I'm relatively certain that if nuclear weapons are ever used again, it'll be by us, or Israel, but probably by us. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America.
I know the mines behind them are riddled full of holes. Not to be trusted with their hands at the controls. Their eyesight is twisted by the glory in their careers. The heaped parade of flattery is music to their ears.
to listen to them talk about how it hasn't happened yet. Like then, Hiroshima, Nagasaki, the Russian rule then. Hiroshima, Nagasaki, Russian rule then. Hiroshima, Nagasaki, the Russian rule then.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Hello?
Opportunity calling.
I thought you knocked.
That's a cliche.
What do you have?
An opportunity to win.
What's it called?
Sony Card Wish It Win It.
So first I wish?
And then you have a chance to win.
Win what?
$10,000 worth of Sony Entertainment.
That's huge.
That's Sony Card Wish It Win It.
What do I do now?
Go to SonyCardWin.com/experience to create your personal wish list.
I wish for Sony electronics, CDs, DVDs, and games.
Go now.
Can't wait.
There's a Sony Card winner each month.
So there's a chance?
That you'll be the one.
To wish and then win?
That's why it's called Wish It, Win It from Sony Card. The card that earns points towards Sony rewards with every use. Go to SonyCardWin.com/experience. No purchase necessary. Offer ends 12/31/06. Void where prohibited. Open only to U.S. residents 18 or older as of date of entry. Odds of winning depend on number of entries. For official rules and alternative method of entry, go to SonyCardWin.com. Sponsored by Sony Electronics, Inc. And remember, life's more entertaining with Sony Card.
Must not and will not allow the world's worst leaders
to hold the United States and our friends and allies blackmail.
Out off my feet.
Jesus, sit down and shut up.
Bang, 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 bang.
All right, Bunny Pants today, you could almost hear the earpiece giving him little pieces of sentences to put together. You'll hear it in the first soundbite here, especially in the second one. Shakes on a plane. Wow. Watch out. Here comes the fear. Terror, terror everywhere. Red alert, Arabs. Red alert, Arabs. Fear, fear. Election, fear, fear. Terror, Bush. Red alert. Cheney. Red alert, fear, fear. Terror, terror. Here they come. Here they come. Brill cream and Gatorade. Watch out. Here they come. Terror, terror. 100 jets. Here they come. Here they come. Republicans, Republicans. Explosive. 9-11. 9-11. 9-11. Fire, danger. Arabs. Bush will save us. Terror, fear. Red orange. Red orange. Red orange alert. Fear, terror, terror, terror. Bush will save us. Bush will save us. Red alert. Code orange. Elections. Republicans. Ned Lamont. Joe Lieberman. Red, red, red. Red, red, red! Red rum. Red rum! Red rum!
I'm sorry, Mrs. Torrance. Danny's not here anymore.
Red rum!
So here's Monkey Man. His mental state is obviously declining. Now he can only squeeze out three words at a time without long pauses. Must be hell in the waitresses at the Crawford Diner.
I want to order a barbecue chicken
and peach cobbler.
The recent arrests that our fellow citizens are now learning about are a stark reminder that this nation is at war with Islamic fascists
who will use any means
to
destroy
those of us who love freedom,
to hurt our nation. I want to thank the government of Tony Blair.
The government of Tony Blair.
And officials.
And officials in the United Kingdom for their good work.
Busting this plot.
And busting this plot.
You know, you got to wonder which Muslim nation will get to pay the price for this latest terrorist threat. Will it be Iran? Or more hammering on Lebanon? Perhaps Syria? Somebody, quick, hand Cheney his PNAC dartboard. See which countries remain to be hit. This guy makes William Shatner, you know, Captain Kirk, sound like a speed talker in comparison.
This country is safer than it was prior to 9/11.
We've taken a lot of measures.
We've taken a lot of measures to protect the American people.
But obviously,
we're still not completely safe.
Because
there are people that still plot.
And people who want
to harm us for what we believe in.
Yeah, it's a mistake.
It is a mistake.
To believe
there is no threat to the United States of America.
And that is why
we have given our officials the tools they need.
To protect our people. Good, good.
If not our ports and our airports and our borders and our skies and our mail, there's more effort, truth seeker, to secure the Iraqi oil fields than the American people on a day-to-day basis, and that's a fact. Jesus God. People who want to harm us for what we believe in. Well, not just what we believe in. They want to harm us because we're slaughtering innocent Muslims. Think that might play a role in all this, chuckle nuts? You think possibly that the incineration and firebombing of Fallujah and Tyre and the utter butchery of... let me tell you something, chuckle nuts. Let me tell you something for real. Okay, for real. If a country invaded the United States... Yeah, I still love the United States, you half-ass, even though you're in charge of it. But if somebody invaded the United States, chuckle nuts, you know what I would do? I would, and instead of firebombing our children, and blowing our non-combatants, our civilians, into red mist and blowing up our bridges and dams and cities because you and your crappy-ass administration had done nothing to secure the homeland. You know what I would do? I would do everything in my power to murder as many invaders as I possibly could. You know, I really would. I would hate them. I would attempt to get gasoline bombs on their airliners. I would attempt to slip into their countries and blow up their houses of parliament. I would wait in the darkness until some of their sentries walked by, and then I would jump out of the shadows and strangle them with my bare hands and then rip their stomachs open with a huge Bowie knife that I keep near my bed. That's what I would do, chuckle nuts. So, do you suppose that maybe, just maybe, these people want to do this to us for, oh, I don't know, let me think, for the same reason that we would do it to them?
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
The point of commercials is, of course, to get you to do something. For example, we'd like you to go to Geico.com and get a free rate quote. But if you're still not reaching for your mouse, at least do this for me. Call a friend who has Geico and ask some questions. Can Geico really save me that much money? Is their claim service as good as, well, they claim? Are they really available 24/7? Once you get your answers, we'll be right here.
Go to Geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. 40 million Americans suffer from allergies, 17 million from asthma, 37 million from sinus infections. Here's the thought. Change the air you breathe. An Orrick Professional Air Purifier completely renews the air in an average-sized room every 10 minutes. Try it free for 90 days. Call 1-800-989-4200. That's 1-800-989-4200.
Real people are sharing their good news about Aleve.
My name is Art Bivens, and this is my story. I have a folk group called Cool Old Dudes.
As I was going over Kilcara Mountain.
I have arthritis in my fingers. It makes it very hard to press down on the strings. Our bass player said, man, you got to try some Aleve. Just to shut Eric up, I tried the Aleve, and he was right. I'm back in the game. I can play guitar again.
Real people, real stories, real good news. Share your good news at AleveGoodNews.com. Uses directed for minor arthritis pain.
Hello?
Hey, is Mark there?
Yes, it is.
Mark, I'm Paul.
Yeah?
I own your old, new Passat.
Oh, yeah, the...
Yes! Oh, boy, it's great talking to you. Listen, if you ever want to just swing by and just, you know, sit in the Passat, you give me a call anytime, we'll make that happen.
Feel the pre-love. Certified pre-loved Volkswagens featuring the 112-point inspection. Come take a joyride today.
people who hate. You know what they hate? They hate the idea that somebody can go buy a home.
We've been down this road so many times, chuckle nuts, that I just don't think it's worth the audience time to go down it again. But mostly what people don't like is when we butcher their children. I think they could probably, give us the home buying bit. It's the murdering the children bit that I think they find it a tad offensive, even though they are Muslims. And you know, Muslims, like Southeast Asians a generation ago, have a different take on the value of human life, right? I understand that.
Can you just see a terror tape being released that says, "Death to America, you people, you buy those condos. We don't like that. You must stop. We will stop you from buying homes. We will."
Last one from Chuckle Nuts before he slumped off to give his standard tax cut speech to weary Wisconsin residents. Closing remarks about all the folks stuck at airports, forced to dump their belongings if they wanted to fly today. All right, cue up the earpiece again.
Travelers are going to be inconvenienced as a result of the steps we've taken. I urge their patience and ask them to be vigilant.
Careful here.
The inconvenience occurs because we will take the steps necessary
to protect the American people.
To protect the American people.
The American people need to know.
The American people need to know we live in a dangerous world.
We do indeed. Fear and terror and Arabs and fear bombs and anthrax, fear, danger, code red, beer, fear, Joe Lieberman, fear, 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 Ned Lamont, only Big Brother, I mean Dick Cheney and Rummy and I can protect you. All right. Next up on the Mike Malloy program stage, ladies and gentlemen, Michael Chertoff, the devil. Another appearance of Satan himself. For those of you who are not cued in, Chertoff is from the Russian, and it means of the devil, literally, or the devil's own. In Russian, that's where it comes from. Michael Chertoff. What, you don't believe me? Look it up. He looks like the devil. Michael Chertoff. Demonic. Hollow-eyed. Hollow-cheeked. If you took a look at his fingernails, you would find human flesh underneath them. The walking skeleton slithers out of his crypt to make a rare daylight appearance before bright lights and cameras, but no mirrors, no mirrors, to scare the bejesus out of the voting public. Here he lays out the basic plot.
British authorities have arrested 21 individuals who are now in custody, who are alleged to have engaged in a plot to detonate liquid explosives on board multiple commercial aircraft departing from the United Kingdom and bound for the United States. This plot appears to have been well planned and well advanced, with a significant number of operatives. The terrorists plan to carry the components of the bombs, including liquid explosive ingredients and detonating devices, disguised as beverages, electronic devices, or other common objects.
Your mother is in here. Your mother is in here. Danny isn't here, but your mother is inside.
The plot appears to have been well planned and well advanced. What? But you could only stop it last night? Not exactly a winning endorsement for Homeland Security. Oh, wait a minute. It wasn't Homeland Security that busted it, as George Bush had whispered into his earpiece. It was British cops. Or am I seeing all the reports on CNN and MSNBC wrong? I want the Lieberman story back on. I want to know more about what Israel is doing in Lebanon. I want to know more about what the United States is facilitating in terms of mega death in Iraq. Come on, come on, give me the good stuff. I don't want this Brill Cream Gatorade crap. A.E. writes in, Mike, how do we get beyond people believing every new threat is real? Remember, every dog and pony show requires two things, a dog and a pony. You can't have a war on terrorism without fighting and fear as the dog and pony, respectively. The expanded Mideast war has supplied the fighting. The threat of everything being a possible liquid explosive has helped to supply the fear. Oh, A.E., you are such a cynic. This is your government talking to you. Let's go back to Chertoff. In recording some of the sound today, we noticed that there seemed to be other voices trying to work their way around his.
We have your mother in here.
But Kathy put it all through Cool Edit Pro and managed to eliminate most of it. So Skeletor continues speaking, explaining why they raised the terror threat, a color-coded candy cane to red today. I'm so old, I remember when red was reserved for an imminent attack on U.S. soil. How many fingers am I holding up? Oh, never mind. Welcome to Room 101.
This operation is, in some respects, suggestive of an Al-Qaeda plot. But because the investigation is still underway, we cannot yet form a definitive conclusion. We're going to wait until all the facts are in. We believe that the arrests in Britain have significantly disrupted this major threat. But we cannot assume that the threat has been completely thwarted or that we have fully identified and neutralized every member of this terrorist network. The United States government has raised the nation's threat level to our highest level of alert, severe or red, for commercial flights originating in the United Kingdom and bound for the United States.
Wake up, people! Your lives are in danger! Wake up! No longer will you be able to bring your aging grandfather on board in a wheelchair with his attached urine bag. It may not be urine. It may be some horrible toxic. Well, I guess in your grandfather's case, it is horrible and toxic. But it may be explosive. No, Grandpa has to take the train from now on. All work and no play make George a dull boy. All work and no play make George a dull boy. All work and no play make George a dull boy. After Chertoff skittered back into his box of dirt.
I must go now.
Bush's Tejano torture boy took the microphone to Cementi Tower in our minds with images of 9/11.
Since 9/11, the threat reporting has consistently shown that there is a vicious and determined enemy that is intent on harming American lives. And today's announcement is a true testament to the hundreds of hours of patient work by British authorities. Their vigilance has led to the unraveling of this deadly plot by terror cells based in the UK. A plot, as Mike indicated, designed to detonate bombs aboard commercial airliners en route to the United States, potentially killing hundreds of innocent people.
And let me see. I also got to pick up a loaf of bread and a quart of milk on the way home and an extra bottle of tequila. And, you know, actually my wife wanted me to stop and get some new needles, some of the big ones, because she has some sewing she wants to do tonight. Something about sewing something on my back. I don't know what she's talking about. But anyway, there was a deadly plot by terror cells based in the UK today. A plot as Mike, indicated. You're going to detonate bombs and stuff. So it's a dirty Arab evildoers. You know, the ragheads. They want to rape white babies and kill Christian puppies and keep us from buying homes. Let's see now. Which nation is this group from? Pakistan, Palestine. Starts with a P. Persia? Pancakeville? No matter. Let's nuke it in the glass. Last one from Torquemada. His theories on who the swarthy would-be killers are and their motives.
We are a nation at war. Today's actions are a stark reminder that the threat is real and that we have a deadly enemy who still wakes every morning thinking of new ways to kill innocent men, women, and children, and dreams every night about wreaking the destruction on freedom-loving countries.
Again, who are we talking about here? We're a nation at war. We have a deadly enemy who still wakes every morning thinking of new ways to kill innocent men, women, and children. This must be the Prime Minister of Lebanon talking? No. The Prime Minister, or is he El Presidente of Iraq talking? No. Who's talking here? New ways to kill innocent men, women, and children, and dreams every night about wrecking the destruction on freedom-loving countries. I don't think I, outside of the horror films I used to watch as a kid in the 50s, the 1950s, I can't remember being more frightened than to watch a 1-2-3 punch of Bush stumbling around like somebody just really out there on some kind of, I don't know what. You know, it certainly isn't a serotonin reuptake inhibitor drug. It must be one of the older, like Elavil or Equinil or something like that. But him first, and then Chertoff, still dripping clots of mud from his coffin, and then this Gonzalez guy. Oh, my God. I mean, if ever anyone displayed the banality of evil, have you ever noticed when he talks about this stuff, the slight smile that's on Bush's Tejano's face?
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor. Now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with a first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really works.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. And Avacor with Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order, plus a free gift from Avacor's hair care line of products. Call 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270.
anything suspicious. Utility workers, lobstermen, went out there pulling their pots to get the lobsters if they see something suspicious taking place along the main coast.
Pulling their what? Pulling their putts? Is that what he said? Oh, pots.
Mike Malloy, do you own a home? I'm going to kill you.
Look, I just know what I hear. When I hear Bush talking about somebody pulling their putts, I don't know, you know, it sounds like something he would say. Hey, got a lobsterman out there pulling their putts. Jesus. Sue sent this to me. It's from The Guardian tomorrow. Very quickly, British soldiers in Afghanistan are engaged in fighting that is more intense and prolonged than any other conflict during the past 50 years. The British commander of all foreign troops in Afghanistan said yesterday, some British soldiers will be withdrawn from the dangerous region of southern Afghanistan where they have engaged in a series of bloody battles with Taliban fighters, Lieutenant General David Richards told the BBC. He said the British soldiers would be replaced by Afghans. Oh, yeah, that'll happen. General Richards, NATO's commander in Afghanistan, said, quote, this sort of thing hasn't really happened so consistently, I don't think, since the Korean War or the Second World War. It happened for periods in the Falklands, obviously, and it happened for short periods in the Gulf on both occasions, but this is persistent, low-level, dirty fighting, end quote. Afghanistan? I thought freedom had come to Afghanistan, and the children were wearing white shoes and flying kites, and Laura Bush got to wing her way in occasionally to talk to the lovely ladies in Afghanistan as they ripped off their burqas and ran around in their underwear. At least that's what I thought. Isn't that what we've been told? That everything is mo better in Afghanistan since we drove the Taliban out and brought freedom. Isn't Cheney always talking about the 20 or is it 40 or is it 80 million people in Afghanistan and Iraq who have been given their freedom because of the glorious initiatives by the Bush administration in all its wondrousness and compassion for the downtrodden ragheads? Or something like that. Let's do some phone calls here before we have to take a break. Mary is calling from Connecticut. Mary, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike. It's Rocky Mountain Mary. How are you? You're the first person I've been able to even speak to about what went on Tuesday and what it's been like ever since. I can't even describe the feeling here. The things that I saw happen on Tuesday, right up close and personal, you know, knowing that the facts were, you know, were behind my assessment of the situation. And I encountered in a small town in Connecticut police, Lieberman thugs. I caught them, you know, they always mark off a pole at 75 feet where you can bring your campaign paraphernalia. Mm-hmm. Right. You're not supposed to sit behind that, and Lieberman's people were well behind the 75-foot marking area. I complained to the supervisor. She told me, well, it's okay. The janitor measured it, but he had to go home. I didn't know what to do.
You should have just joined them, gone behind the 75-foot marker, whatever the hell it was, Mary, and held up a sign that said, I love Ned Lamont.
What I ended up doing was taking my camera, walking, maybe about 5 feet away from them and standing directly in front of them and taking a picture of them.
Camera?
And they waved.
Mary, you got to be careful. You take a picture of people like that in a polling place, you may wind up in Guantanamo.
I know it.
Oh, my God.
I react
hold
so
on
quickly.
Hold on a minute. Okay. I need somebody in Connecticut to watch out for Rocky Mountain Mary here. She's doing stuff like taking pictures inside a polling place of Joe Lieberman workers. Somebody watch Mary. They're going to get... Okay. All right. Where were you?
Mary, do you own a home?
Are you gonna join me when I go?
Who is this?
Rocky Mountain Mary.
I'm sorry, I don't know you. am I going to join you? Oh, no. No, no, I'm going to stay here and probably wind up taking up arms. I'm going back and reading my Jefferson as much as I can about Jefferson, especially that part where he said the Tree of Liberty may occasionally need to be nurtured with the blood of tyrants and patriots. If Jefferson, if Jefferson were to say something like that today, he would be busted for threatening the Bush crime family. I think we all know that.
Mike, I haven't been able to get out of bed since it happened. I've been so overwhelmed with
strength.
You know the feeling?
Strength. As Dan Rather used to say, Mary, courage. All right?
I'll be brave. I promise I'll
be. Oh, my God, they got her already? Mary! Mary!
Mike, I love you.
Mary!
Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
I work all day, Dr. Phil, and okay, fine, I guess I'm sort of a homebody, so I feel like it's really never going to happen for me.
Look, love is not like the pizza man. Hi, I'm going door to door looking for a life partner. Not going to happen.
Dr. Phil is now on Match.com. His insights inspire millions every day and help them find love. Now with our free starter kit, you can see if we're right for you. Visit Match.com, the number one site for love.
Real people are sharing their good news about Aleve.
My name is Art Bivens, and this is my story. I have a folk group called Cool Old Dudes.
As I was going over Kilgara Mountain.
I have arthritis in my fingers. It makes it very hard to press down on the strings. Our bass player said, man, you got to try some Aleve. Just to shut Eric up, I tried the Aleve, and he was right. I'm back in the game. I can play guitar again.
Real people, real stories, real good news. Share your good news at AleveGoodNews.com. Use as directed for minor arthritis pain.
Vote might come tomorrow on a United Nations resolution aimed at ending the fighting between Israel and Hezbollah. Israel's defense minister says if diplomacy does not stop the fighting with Hezbollah, then Israel will use all tools to win the war against the guerrillas. Israel has said it will wait to expand a ground operation in the South Lebanon pending the diplomacy. The UN Security Council is trying to reach agreement on a ceasefire resolution. But there are disagreements reported between Washington and the French. Meanwhile, today Israeli ground forces took control of a strategic southern Lebanese town, and Hezbollah rockets killed two Arabs in Israel. Hezbollah also claims to have destroyed 13 Israeli tanks. A United Nations official today criticizing both Israel and Hezbollah for blocking humanitarian aid convoys. Jan Egeland, the UN's top humanitarian official, says it is a disgrace that the convoys have not been allowed to reach trapped civilians in southern Lebanon. He says Hezbollah and the Israelis could give them access in a heartbeat. Relief convoys have been trying to reach about 120,000 people in southern Lebanon. Egeland says both sides have reneged on promises to let the aid through. Meanwhile, the International Red Cross says it got a personal commitment from Israeli Prime Minister Ehud Olmert. In a statement, Olmert pledged to, quote, do everything possible to allow the aid through. The U.S. Homeland Security chief warning the alleged plot to blow up American-bound planes was getting quite close to being carried out. Michael Chertoff also says it has all the calling cards of an al-Qaeda plot. He calls it one of the most sophisticated terror plans to come along in recent years. British authorities say they have gotten the ringleaders. Britain's Home Secretary John Reid says if the terror plan had been carried out, it would have caused death on an unprecedented scale. British authorities arrested more than 20 alleged plotters. The French Interior Ministry says the suspects arrested in a terror plot in Britain appear to be of Pakistani origin. In Washington, D.C., the subway system increasing security today. In New York, though, business as usual. New York City Mayor Mike Bloomberg says the city's alert level still the same since it's been 9/11, the World Trade Center bombing. He says the normal random bag checks at subway stations in New York City are still in place. In Britain, the entire transportation network on high alert. This is Air America Radio News.
Welcome back. This is Air America. My name is Mike Malloy. Gordon sent me an email. Says, Mike, every time I see Chertoff, I get the feeling that Lenin's tomb is missing its occupant. That's so true. But you know, they're both Russian. I guess. Is Lenin Russian? Yeah, I guess he was Russian, wasn't he? Yeah. Or was he some other ethnic group? I think he was Russian. QV, is it QV who sent me, or CV? Yes, CV sent turned me on to this story in French news agency, AFP. Let me share a little bit of this with you. This is what the announcement today was all about. It was clearly designed to once again try to paint the Democrats who are running for office, other than Joe Lieberman, as, quote, soft on terror, close quote. Bush and Cheney and the rest of these evil, filthy, filthy bastards knew about this developing raid by British police. They knew about it last weekend. And as these scum do, I swear to God, I'm getting closer and closer to the Jeffersonian admonition about the Tree of Liberty. I swear I am. But these scum held the information until the exact opportune time. And it just so happened to come with the defeat of Joe Lieberman and then the ensuing discussion about how one of Bush's toadies had been defeated, and that meant that the Democratic Party was going to reinvigorate itself. Okay, time to release the information. Now, here's the way Agence France-Presse put it. U.S. President George W. Bush seized on a foiled London airline bomb plot to hammer unnamed critics he accused of having all but forgotten the September 11, 2001 terrorist attacks. Bush said the London conspiracy is, quote, a stark reminder this nation is at war with Islamic fascists who will use any means to destroy those who love freedom and hurt our nation. Leading Democrats praised the dismantling of the plot, but said it showed how the war in Iraq has siphoned resources from the war on Osama bin Laden's al-Qaeda network, which carried out the strikes in 2001. Bush's remarks came a day after the White House orchestrated an exceptionally aggressive campaign to tar opposition Democrats as weak on terrorism, knowing what Democrats didn't, that news of the plot would soon break. Vice President Dick Cheney and White House spokesman Tony Snow had argued the Democrats wanted to raise what Snow called a white flag in the war on terror, citing as evidence the defeat of a three-term Democratic senator who backed the Iraq war in his effort to win renomination. But Bush aides on Thursday fought the notion that they had exploited their knowledge of the coming British raid to hit Democrats, saying the trigger had been the defeat of Joe Lieberman of Connecticut by an anti-war political novice. Snow said the comments were purely and simply a reaction to Democratic voters who removed a pro-defense senator and sent the message that the party would not tolerate candidates with such views. It was not said with the knowledge that this was coming. Honest. We didn't jump all over the Democrats on Wednesday about being soft on terrorism because we knew that on Thursday this story would break. No. The fact that we all knew about it 4 days ago has nothing to do with anything. Don't look at the little man behind the curtain. Keep your eyes on me. How many fingers am I holding up? Snow said Bush first learned in detail about the plot last Friday and received two detailed briefings on it on Saturday and Sunday, as well as had two conversations about it with British Prime Minister Tony Blair. Dick Cheney held a highly unusual conference call with reporters on Wednesday to attack the Democrats as weak against terrorism. On Wednesday, Cheney had suggested the Democrats believe, quote, that somehow we can retreat behind our oceans and not be actively engaged in this conflict and be safe here at home, which clearly we know we won't, we can't be, or something. Is my heart still beating? I don't know. Harry Reid, the top Democrat in the U.S. Senate, said, quote, terrorism remains the greatest threat to our security as a result of mismanagement and the wrong funding priorities. We are not as safe as we should be. Close quote. But Bush's Republicans hoped the raid in the U.K. would yield political gains. One Republican congressional aide told AFP on condition of anonymity because of possible reprisals, quote, I'd rather be talking about this than all the other things that Congress hasn't done well. You know, just a few weeks here before September 11th, this is going to play real big. And you know, the Democratic candidates won't look as appealing under the circumstances. Jesus H. Christ. And Muhammad and Moses and the Buddha and any other fake deity that you want to invoke. This is unbelievable. Now, why is that not on the front page of, oh, I don't know, pick a paper, LA Times, New York Times, Washington Post, Miami Herald, Cleveland Plain Dealer, Atlanta Journal-Constitution? Why is that information not available to us? Did you know, True Seeker, that the timing and the orchestration of all this was carefully calculated and put together by the Bush crime family? I didn't until CV just sent me the suggestion that I go to AFP and take a look at this article. I had no idea. Maybe they talked about it today on television, quote, news, close quote. I don't know. I didn't watch it. I was busy today once again fighting spiders on my house. So I didn't see any news. But there it is. There it is. Bush and these rat bastards in his crime family knew all this on Friday. So, okay.
Well, let's see what happens with the elections on Tuesday. What? Holy Joe got beat? Holy Joe, did he really? Ooh, damn. Okay, let's talk about how the Democrats are soft on terrorism and that only anti-Semites voted in Connecticut. Let's throw the Jew thing in there. What else can we throw in? The terror thing, let's throw that in there. Ned Lamont is obviously an Islamic bomb thrower. Lamont. What kind of a name is that? Lamont. What does that mean? Is that Syrian? Ned. What is that?
These pigs. I wouldn't give you 10 cents for the whole lot of them. I swear to God I wouldn't. So here we go again. And people wonder, well, you know, why are you cynical? My God, this was a plot. Hundreds of airliners were going to be blown out of the sky. A very similar thing was planned 10 years ago, and it was going to happen in the Philippines. Or was it Canada? No, wait a minute. Is it Hawaii? No. Let me think. Pakistan? I don't know. Somewhere in the Red Sea? No, that's not. Planes don't fly in the Red Sea. Well, but I know I heard this story before. When was it? And what about the shoe bomber? I saw the thing on television again today. I saw it today. The video clip put together by CNN. What would have happened had that Richard Reid, that weird-looking, pimply, frizzy-haired, almost negroid-looking man who was going to blow up his shoe? Look! The whole midsection, the jetliner was blown to a million pieces. Oh, Christ! Save me, George! And thank God the Israelis are killing all those Lebanese people. Those sons of bitches will be next. They'll be throwing bombs and blowing up airliners and putting stuff in their Brill cream and bringing it on their airplanes. Oh, I just want to go home. My head hurts. I want to get under the blankets. Thank Jesus for George W. Bush. He's protecting us. He's protecting us. I hate that goddamn Malloy. He's always mocking and making fun of him, going, we the people, really believe that they want our houses. Thank you, George. Ah, oh, Christ, I love you. Oh, George, bring on the rapture. Ah, oh, bring on the rapture. Yow! Bring it on.
Red Rum! Red Rum! Red Rum!
Guaranteed to blow your head off. It's a dino
listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. Can a vacuum make a difference in your life? Ask anybody who owns an 8-pound Orrick XL. They'll tell you there's not an easier or more efficient way to clean your home. And it's sanitary. See for yourself risk-free for 30 days. Call 1-800-989-4200, 1-800-989-4200. I'll get an Orrick XL to you faster than you can say, why settle for clean when you can have healthy, too.
The point of commercials is, of course, to get you to do something. For example, we'd like you to go to Geico.com and get a free rate quote. But if you're still not reaching for your mouse, at least do this for me. Call a friend who has Geico and ask some questions. Can Geico really save me that much money? Is their claim service as good as, well, they claim? Are they really available 24/7? Once you get your answers, we'll be right here.
Go to Geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
Reminded the Prime Minister, the American people, Mr. Prime Minister, over the past months that it was not always a given that the United States and America would have a close relationship.
Yeah. Or Michigan and Indiana. Ross Story has this up at rossstory.com. Senator Joseph Lieberman today told voters that the Iraq position held by challenger Ned Lamont... wait a minute. Oh, damn. I lost it on the printing thing here. I'll get it back. What he's saying is that if you vote for Ned Lamont, you are setting America up for the kind of terrorist threat that was thwarted in the UK today. Boy, it doesn't take these bastards long to learn how to adopt fully the Karl Rove playbook, does it? Huh? It's just astonishing. Senator Joe Lieberman today told voters that the Iraq position held by challenger Ned Lamont could lead to more terror attacks like those foiled in the UK today, according to the New York Times. An excerpt from the Times article, quote, If we just pick up like Ned Lamont wants us to do, get out by a date certain, it will be taken as a tremendous victory by the same people who wanted to blow up these planes in this plot hatched in England, close quote, Mr. Lieberman said at a campaign event at lunchtime in Waterbury, Connecticut, quote, it will strengthen them and they will strike again, end quote. You evil son of a bitch. I swear to God, these people are just... It's astonishing how quickly they learn. Astonishing. Simon in the UK sent us a link to that story. And our good friends at TV News Lies sent, this is in tomorrow's New York Times. I think Reg sent this to me. First two sentences, listen to this. This is tomorrow's paper. Israel has asked the Bush administration to speed delivery of short-range anti-personnel rockets armed with cluster munitions, which it could use to strike Hezbollah missile sites in Lebanon, two American officials said Thursday. The request for M-26 artillery rockets, which are fired in barrages and carry hundreds of grenade-like bomblets that scatter and explode over a broad area, is likely to be approved shortly, along with other arms, the senior official said. Do you understand? You people who are writing me about poor little Israel's desperate life and death struggle, to hell with you. These are cluster bombs! These are anti-personnel weapons that are going to be used to shred human flesh off of bones. Whose human flesh? Lebanese. My God. Treblinka, Sobibor, Dachau, Auschwitz. Didn't it mean anything? Doesn't it mean anything? What is this never again? What are you doing to the people in Lebanon? What are you doing? Cluster bombs. Cluster bombs, for God's sake. Cluster bombs. The great democracy in the Middle East, the civilized nation of Israel, is going to use cluster bombs on Lebanese civilians. I can't stand it anymore. I just can't stand it anymore. Of course we will speed up the delivery because we are the number one terrorist state in the history of the human race, the United States. We are. And apparently Israel is trying so hard to be number two. Cluster bombs, white phosphorus, napalm. My God. My God. Okay, I got to stop talking now, or I'm going to, I'm just going to, start screaming. So, take a break, and we're going to come back and take your phone calls. Your phone number here is 866-303-2270. Please hurry up with your delivery of cluster bombs, great American Satan. We desperately need them in our operation against the Lebanese, because by God, we are going to free our two captured soldiers. If we have to kill 10,000 Lebanese, if we have to shred the flesh off of, we don't give a damn how many children and civilians, we will do it.
To tell the ones who hear no sound, whose sons are living in the ground, peace on earth. Jesus, in the song you wrote, the words are sticking in my throat, peace on earth. Hear it every Christmas time, of hope and history won't rhyme, so what's it worth? There's peace on earth. Peace on earth. Peace on earth. Peace on earth.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Hi, is Michael there?
This is?
Oh, hi, Michael. Wow. Okay, my name is Neil.
Yep.
And we've never actually met before, but I used to own your Volkswagen Jetta. I was the original owner, actually. I used to own it.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Why am I calling, right?
No, it's cool.
I mean, maybe I shouldn't have. It's just, I just miss it, you know? And, how is it?
What?
The car? It's great, isn't it? It's so great.
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
You've been driving it and stuff?
Yeah.
Let me ask you something. Is it dirty? Because I could wash it.
Volkswagen owners really love their cars, but sometimes they have to let them go. Then we pass them on to you. Certified pre-loved Volkswagens featuring the 112-point inspection. Come take a joyride today.
Who's there?
Opportunity.
Opportunity who?
Opportunity knocking.
What for?
Your chance to win.
Win what?
Sony stuff.
Who's with you?
Sony card.
Sony card who?
Sony card weekly cash-in.
Cash-in? How much?
A $500 Sony card credit or a $599 Sony-style gift card every week.
That's a lot of dough.
Good for a lot of entertainment.
Like movies and music? A digital camera?
Go for it.
But how?
Every week, three lucky card members could win.
Sounds like a great opportunity.
But you gotta act fast.
Where do I apply?
Online.
What's the address?
Go to SonyCardWin.com/winner.
Sounds easy.
It is. It's SonyCard. Earning points towards Sony rewards with every use. Go to SonyCardWin.com/winner. No purchase necessary. Offer ends 12/31/06. Void where prohibited. Open only to U.S. residents 18 or older as of date of entry. Odds of winning depend on number of entries. For official rules and alternative method of entry, go to SonyCardWin.com. Sponsored by Sony Electronics, Inc. And remember, life's more entertaining with SonyCard.
Shame on you. It fooled me. We can't get fooled again.
Fool me once. Shame on Roger Daltrey. Marla sends me an email. Mike, did you see this live vote on CNN's website? The question is, I didn't see it until I clicked the link that Marla sent. Do you believe alternative theories for the September 11th, 2001 attacks are credible? Do you believe alternative theories for the September 11th, 2001 attacks are credible? And right now it's running about 70% of the people, and I think about 50,000 people have responded, about 70% are saying yes. Oh my. Another reason for the news today that Grandpa won't be allowed on an airplane with his pee bag because it might control, it might contain stuff that blows up. Tom in San Jose, California, regarding the cluster bombs, writes, the real question is how many of the bomblets are direct impact explosions versus delayed explosions versus movement explosions where they don't go off until someone picks it up and moves it. Didn't we condemn the Soviet Union for using cluster bombs in Afghanistan? I think we did, Tom, but this is different. This is Israel and the United States. If we want to nuke somebody, by God, we'll nuke them. If we want to invade a country, by God, we'll invade it. If we want our surrogates in the Middle East to use cluster bombs, by God, we'll provide them. Very simple.
I just had a thought. I mean, if somebody has exploding urine, they've got a much bigger, bigger problem than just having a catheter.
You are, I don't know, Kathy. I think the heat's getting to you. All right, let's get back to phone calls. Barbara's calling from Fresno, California. Barbara, welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike.
Hey.
You got a good sense of humor.
We have to.
The old man with the bag hanging.
We are parents of a 2-year-old. If we don't laugh, we're going to, I don't know, we're just going to go insane.
I've been laughing all day today at my youngest son. He's 26, but he's mentally disabled. He has about the mind of a 13-year-old, and he comes running in the kitchen. Mom, you see? I said, listen, Lieberman lost yesterday. I was waiting for this. I knew something was going to happen.
Right.
Don't turn off the news. Don't believe none of it.
What'd you say?
He goes, oh, okay. Then he comes back over and he says, but Mom, turn that off.
I know. It's awful. It's just awful.
You know, it scares him. And he goes, why don't you be president? I said, we need an Einstein to get us out of the mess we're in now.
We need somebody who at least has a high school education where they paid attention.
Yes.
You know.
Can you imagine?
I don't know, Barbara. I am kind of freaked out. I really am because I have kids and grandkids
talking,
and you know.
Yeah, when you were talking about the religions and everything, and I'm sitting here and I'm thinking, Jesus has got to be up in heaven looking at his father and saying, "You sent me down to die for that."
Well, if you want to read some really good stuff about that, I'll tell you what you can read. Mark Twain wrote a whole series called Letters to the Earth and Letters from the Earth. Now, it includes a section called Eve's Diary, Adam's Diary, Methuselah's Diary. Twain was not just an atheist in his later years, but he decided to just rip to pieces the hypocrisy of the Christian religion as it was being practiced in this country. Remember, in the 1890s, right around the turn of the century, right before Twain died, that's when all this rapture crap and Armageddon and dominionism first was being put out there in what was called the Great Awakening. And Twain, some of the funniest, you think Huckleberry Finn was good, you think Innocence Abroad was good.
I love Mark Twain.
You've got to get Letters to the Earth.
I've never heard of that one.
Very few people have. Letters to the Earth or Letters from the Earth. Please get that. You'll love it. Just go to the library and get it. You'll love it.
Oh, yeah, I will. There was something. It reminded me of my parents telling me when they didn't have TV and they were young and how Orson Welles had everybody in the United States in a panic over War of the Worlds.
Right, exactly.
They actually believed it was happening. And that's what I was trying to explain to my son today. This is not happening. Tony Blair's Bush's friend, let's get the terror attack going. Lieberman lost. I knew something was going to happen today.
You know, I had a feeling. I thought it would stop with the Republican criminals saying that since the voters in Connecticut defeated Joe Lieberman, that A, Connecticut was an anti-Semitic state, and B, it meant that the Democrats were determined to turn the country over to terrorists. I thought it would stop at that, but it didn't. What was shocking to me is that these thugs in the Bush crime family knew about this on Friday, last Friday.
Oh, brother.
So, you can draw your own conclusions.
Waiting until after the election to see how it went.
That's right. Barbara, I got to move on. Thank you.
Okay.
I appreciate
Bye-bye.
You checking in. You take care.
I will. Bye.
Herb is calling from Mississippi, the old Sarge at powersandmorrison.com. Sarge, welcome to the program.
How you doing, Mike? How
I'm doing all right.
Tonight? Okay. I just wanted to tell you, all this terror stuff, Bush and Snow and all them morons up there can talk about how well they did and thwarting this, but you know what? They didn't do a thing.
Yeah,
they just sat back.
That's right. That's right.
They're just like Trent Lott is doing down here in his home county of Jackson County. He's sitting back and not doing a thing, and the people are suffering. So
that's right. Why bother? Why do anything? You know, eventually a favored corporation will come in and make everything okay, and for the poor people who have been driven out, to hell with them. They're poor people. They don't count, Sarge. Whether they're poor people in South Mississippi or poor people in Louisiana or people in the occupied territories in the Middle East, doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, I tell you, Mike, it's just really, it's really unbelievable. But I'm going to tell you this, and you watch and see if I'm not right. Jackson County, Lott's home county, will not go with him. They're going to vote Fleming.
Yeah.
That has already been told me.
Well,
good news.
What happens if Trent Lott gets defeated?
Well, he's not going to get beat, I'm afraid. But it's going to really be an embarrassment when he can't even carry his home county.
Yeah,
but the people down there are mad. In fact, I was telling someone the other day, you say you like Trent Lott in Jackson County, they may tar and feather you. Because he is, hey, man, he is cutting funds that would go to them. He's not following up on things. I can't even get him to talk.
Well, you know better than any of us out here, Sarge, how corrupt Trent Lott is and what a pig he is.
Well, let me tell you, Mike, here's the story that really stinks. I wrote it on my site so people can go by and read it. But there was 9 teenagers this year in Jackson County, and it's a small county, commit suicide. They've already had 20 this year without counting August.
Wow.
And the whole thing for 2005 was 12. And they're expecting a 200% to 300% increase in suicides. Trent Lott is not getting the money in for mental health things.
Mm-hmm.
Reg of TV Lies was really good, and she published a letter on her site that one of the guys from Jackson County wrote me, and I donated a site to them, and they're going to set up a website where people can donate to help them get some of these people taken care of. But
you know, this is, as you're talking, Sarge, it breaks my heart because I'm part of the problem here. This tragedy continues along the Mississippi, Louisiana Gulf Coast, and our consciousness is focused on Lebanon and Israel and Iraq and Gaza, and here our own people are living like, I don't know, fourth world stone eaters or something.
Mike, I'm going to tell you how bad it is. I hate to be so negative, but I got to tell the truth, man. These people are depending on me. But I know one person that lives lives down there, and she's in a FEMA trailer, and she makes good money. I mean, she's got a master's degree, and she makes money that pretty well is middle class money. And did you know the only thing she can eat, because things are so doggone high, the only thing she eats is cereal and milk, because that's all she can afford. And my twin sister eats one meal every 3 days, because that's all she can afford.
Well, good God, Sarge.
I mean, this is how bad it is in Jackson County. That four-year-old trying to commit suicide, we got her help. But there's others that need it, man. And that's what I'm setting up this site for. And I'm hoping that with Reg, and Reg is so wonderful because she's really pitching in, we can make a difference. But people, don't forget us down here. This Jackson County, they are really suffering, and they need it. So, Mike, you're so great at letting me get the word out. And I want to say to all those that call you anti-Semitic, they can kiss my ass because you are not. If they want to take me on, come on to the old Sarge, and we'll talk about it because I'll straighten them out in a heartbeat.
Oh, all right, Sarge.
Because you're the man, and don't let nobody ever doubt it, buddy.
All right.
I'm gone, man.
All right, Sarge, thank you so much. Appreciate you checking in. Go check out what he's talking about. Go to tvnewslies.org powersandmorrison.com. And when you get to Powers and Morrison, just click on the old Sarge, and it's there. And I do feel bad that we're talking about so many things so far away, and look what's going on right here at home.
Why do she be sleeping? I'm empty and aching, and I don't know why. Counting the cars on the New Jersey Turnpike, they've all come to look for.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
This is Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young Freedom of Speech Radio with David Bender. Here's David with David Crosby on Air America.
This tour is called the Freedom of Speech Tour 2006.
It's part of our job that most people don't understand. They get into this business simply to be entertainers and get on the cover of Rolling Stone and make $1 million. They don't really understand what the job was. They don't know about Pete Seeger. They should give classes in Pete Seeger in high school. He's an American treasure. You know, his politics were silly. He believes in an idea that didn't work, communism. But the man had courage and never, ever gave up and never shut up. He learned from the masters, you know, Gandhi and King, men who kept passing these ideas on that we could, you know, make a difference if we were willing to stick up for what we believed in.
Stay tuned for more Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young Freedom of Speech Radio with David Bender and your chance to win exclusive tickets when CSNY get to your town. Get more information online at AirAmericaRadio.com.
The Mike Malloy Show. You are now entering a flying monkey free zone.
It's about 9 before the hour. Back to your phone calls. Carol is calling from St. Paul, Minnesota. Carol, welcome to the program. Thanks for holding on.
Hi, Mike.
Hey, Carol.
This is a first-time caller, and I'm really, really nervous, but I'm a huge fan of yours.
Well, thank you.
Thank you. And I noticed on your website tonight that you mentioned Tony Blair, and I've been listening to Air America all day today, and nobody's really talked about his reaction to all this. And because of you, I put on my tin hat and thought that maybe he had something to do with all of this, with the terrorist alert.
You think?
I was wondering if you could comment on that for me, please.
You know, I don't know about Tony Blair any longer. I don't know what to think. I do know this. Reports out of the UK say that he is a pretty much as much of an Armageddonist Christian fundamentalist as George Bush is. We have a couple of correspondents in, not that there's anything wrong with that, but it does affect or infect your worldview. We have a couple of correspondents in the UK who say that the people of the United Kingdom have just about had it with this guy. His warmongering, his saber rattling, his threats, his sending British troops into both Iraq and Afghanistan to be slaughtered. His attitude where it concerns the people of Gaza, the Palestinians in Gaza, the Lebanese in Lebanon. So Tony Blair, I don't know. I can't figure him out. At one time, maybe a decade ago, I thought this guy, had a good operation, a good plan in mind after all those years of Thatcherism. But I have no idea. I can't understand Tony Blair. He seems like a smart enough man, and if that's the case, why does he let George W. Bush treat him like I don't know, some kind of an inferior? I don't understand. I wish I had an answer for you, Carol, but I'm not aware of what Tony's motives are. Maybe somebody in the UK will send us an email, and if they do, I'll read it on the air as an answer to what your question is.
Okay, Mike. I just want you to know that all the hate mail that you get, I'm telling you, I absolutely love you. I love your show. And you have made me so much more aware of the world that's going on, and you present all point of views. And please know that I'm one of your biggest fans.
Well, thanks. In fairness, Carol, let me say, in the past couple of days, I have just gotten an avalanche of supportive email from Jews, Gentiles, black, white, gay, straight. I started to get the feeling I was whining a little bit the other night about the email coming from, obviously, from American Zionists. People are entitled to their own beliefs, and I knew before I took on this subject what the reaction is going to be. But we were driving home the other night at 1 o'clock in the morning, and Kathy suggested I might be, it wasn't her word, but what she was referencing is maybe I'm getting a little bit too whiny. If it gets too hot in the kitchen, as Harry Truman said, I think, get the hell out.
I don't think you were whining. I just think you were presenting the facts, but I'm glad that you know that there's plenty of us out here who appreciate seen both sides of the view. I mean,
well,
not
that's
just,
yeah,
not just one or the other, but both. And I really appreciate your.
I think that's critical.
That.
I think that's critical. All right, thanks, Carol. Thanks for checking in.
Thank
I appreciate
you so
it.
Much, Mike.
All right, you take
Bye-bye.
Care. Bye. Yeah, there has been just I just can't answer all the emails, individually. But a lot of folks who are American Jews have written to me with utter support. In presenting the facts, not that they're saying, yeah, Israel needs to be pushed into the sea. No, hell no, and I don't believe that either. You know, in these emails, people are saying, you know, I do support the state of Israel, but what they are doing now is an outrage. It's immoral. It's unethical. It's unbelievable. And usually the part of the text of these emails is to reassure me that the points I'm trying to make are not anti-Semitic or anti-Jewish. they are fair criticism from my perspective of actions taken by a sovereign nation, the state of Israel. And I've tried to maintain all along that that's the place I was coming from. If I get callers who want a Jew bash, they don't make it on the air. They just don't. That's not what, that's, you know. I mean, I reserve for myself the right to Christian bash. But, oh, never mind. Not real Christians. You know what I'm talking about. But anyway, to the people who have written to me, and some of the emails are very heartfelt, men and women who have written in from all over the country who have been listening to the program and listened to how I've been presenting this horror that has occurred in the Middle East, another horror on top of horror on top of horror. The emails have been extremely supportive. I'm not saying in agreement, but supportive of taking a position. Everybody has their point of view on this horrible issue. But the emails I appreciate the most sometimes are the ones that don't say, on this particular issue, Mike, you're absolutely right. I'm Jewish and I think the Israelis are real murderers. No. The ones that I appreciate the most, if you want to know, are the ones that say, I am a supporter of Israel. I am Jewish. I do believe in the existence of the State of Israel. But I also support your right to present both sides of this issue, because what the Israeli military is doing is an outrage. And I, anyway, didn't mean to get on the soapbox there, but I thought I better clear that up, because I don't want to leave the impression now that, oh, poor Mikey's getting his ass kicked. No. But thanks a lot for the understanding from Jew and Gentile. I appreciate it. We'll be back after the break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. Jew and Gentile and atheist, too. Let me throw that in.
Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor. Now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with the first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really works.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. And Avacor with Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order, plus a free gift from Avacor's hair care line of products. Call 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-884-6270. That's
1-800-884-6270. Air America Radio News, I'm Jeff Weiser.
Security at U.S. and British airports are at their highest levels after an alleged terror plot on the same scale as 9/11 was foiled in London. Authorities arrested more than 20 people in London early Thursday morning on charges they planned to use explosive gel or liquid to blow up several flights as they traveled from Britain to the U.S. Homeland Security Secretary Michael Chertoff said the plot would have been comparable to the 9/11 terror attacks. U.S. Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez says there's no evidence of an ongoing terror plot on American soil, similar to that uncovered in London. Gonzalez says the FBI had more than 200 agents running down leads and tips in connection with the plot to bring down transcontinental flights from London to the U.S.
We shared with the British authorities, and we believe that our efforts were important, certainly instrumental, disrupting this current threat.
Transportation Security Administration Assistant Secretary Kip Hawley says there's one big rule change passengers need to know about.
Passengers are no longer allowed to bring liquids through the checkpoint and onto the plane. That is the big change.
Hawley advises passengers to unclutter their bags to make it easier for TSA screeners to move them through checkpoints. Troubles over agreeing on a ceasefire resolution that the United Nations has led Russia to propose a 72-hour truce to the month-long fighting in the Middle East. Russia's ambassador Vitaly Churkin said objections from Lebanon prevented agreement. Churkin said a 72-hour truce would allow supplies to get through and help a catastrophic humanitarian situation. Connecticut Senator Joe Lieberman's independent bid for re-election is moving forward with new faces as his top staffers. Lieberman dismissed his campaign chief of staff, Sean Smith, and communication director, Marion Steinfels, one day after losing to Ned Lamont. Florida Governor Jeb Bush is monitoring the developing situation in the United Kingdom after authorities foiled a terror plot there. The UK is Florida's top overseas tourism market, and Bush says he expects his state to get through this as it has before. You're listening to Air America Radio News. I'm Jeff Weiser.
Welcome back. It's about 7 past the hour. Email here, and I don't know who it's from, I'm sorry, but it says, regarding Mark Twain, 1900 was just about the start of American Empire, Cuba, Puerto Rico, the Philippines. Twain, I so strongly recommend Mark Twain's writings. He wrote, and if you're a regular listener to this program, you've heard me mention this before, he wrote a series of articles called The Damned, put together called The Damned Human Race. Twain went to the Philippines during our fight with the Spanish and one of two insurgent groups in the Philippines during the Spanish-American War. And the United States favored one group that was willing to turn the Philippines over to U.S. corporations. So we slaughtered members of the other group. A new invention at the time was the Gatling gun. And Twain writes about entire villages of people, kind of like My Lai or Fallujah or villages in South Lebanon or in the occupied territories. Entire villages of people were herded into the cone, the blown-off cone of a quiet volcano. And around the edges of the rim of this pit, the United States Marines set up machine guns and Gatling guns and opened fire. And Twain wrote about this. These were civilians who were just butchered, absolutely and utterly butchered, because they supported the insurgent group in the Philippines that we didn't. So if you want to read some of the most astounding work, Mark Twain, he was a correspondent for, I think, the Baltimore Sun, is that right, at the time? Or am I confusing him with Hemingway? But he was a correspondent for a newspaper, and these were dispatches that came back from the beginnings of American Empire in 1898 to 1902, 1903. And it's some of the most powerful writing. When you think of Mark Twain as a kind of folksy American humorist, you ain't read nothing until you read some of his writings attacking religion and attacking American imperialism at the turn of the 20th century. So just for future reference. All right, I've got two statements to read for you. The first one is from Fouad Seniora, the president, is that right, prime minister, president of Lebanon, prime minister of Lebanon. And then an address by Ehud Olmert, the prime minister of the State of Israel. Seniora's statement comes August 9th, yesterday, and Olmert's comes July 31st, last week. So listen up, or not. This is from the Lebanese prime minister. A military solution to Israel's savage war on Lebanon and the Lebanese people is both morally unacceptable and totally unrealistic. We in Lebanon call upon the international community and citizens everywhere to support my country's sovereignty and end this folly now. We also insist that Israel be made to respect international humanitarian law, including the provisions of the Geneva Conventions, which it has repeatedly and willfully violated. As the world watches, Israel has besieged and ravaged our country, created humanitarian and environmental disaster, and shattered our infrastructure and economy, putting an intolerable strain on our social and economic systems. Fuel, food, and medical equipment are in short supply. Homes, factories, and warehouses have been destroyed, roads severed, bridges smashed, and airports disabled. The damage to infrastructure alone is running into the billions of dollars, as are the losses to owners of private property, and the long-term direct and indirect costs due to lost revenue in tourism, agriculture, and industrial sectors are expected to be many more billions. Lebanon's well-known achievements in 15 years of post-war development have been wiped out in a matter of days by Israel's deadly military might. For all this carnage and death, and on behalf of all Lebanese, we demand an international inquiry into Israel's criminal actions in Lebanon and insist that Israel pay compensation for its wanton destruction. Israel seems to think that its attacks will sow discord among the Lebanese. This will never happen. Israel should know that the Lebanese people will remain steadfast and united in the face of this latest Israeli aggression, its seventh invasion, just as they were during the nearly 2 years of brutal occupation, 2 decades of brutal occupation. The people's will to resist grows ever stronger with each village demolished and each massacre committed. On 25 July at the International Conference for Lebanon in Rome, I proposed a comprehensive 7-point plan to end the war. It was well received by the conference and got the unanimous and full backing of the Lebanese Council of Ministers, in which Hezbollah is represented, as well as of the Speaker of Parliament and a majority of parliamentary blocs. Representatives of diverse segments of Lebanese civil society have come out strongly in favor, as has the Islamic Christian Summit, representing all the religious confessions, ensuring a broad national consensus and preserving our delicate social equilibrium. The plan, which also received the full support of the 56 member states of the Organization of the Islamic Conference, included an immediate, unconditional, and comprehensive ceasefire, and called for, first, the release of Lebanese and Israeli prisoners and detainees through the International Committee of the Red Cross. Second, the withdrawal of the Israeli army behind the so-called Blue Line. Third, a commitment from the UN Security Council to replace the Shiba'a Farms and Kfar Shuba Hills areas under UN jurisdiction until border delineation and Lebanese sovereignty over them are fully settled. Further, Israel must surrender all maps of remaining landmines in southern Lebanon to the United Nations. Next, an extension of the Lebanese government's authority over its own territory through its legitimate armed forces with no weapons or authority other than that of the Lebanese state as stipulated in the Taif Accord. We have indicated that the Lebanese armed forces are ready and able to deploy in southern Lebanon alongside the UN forces there the moment Israel pulls back to the international border. Next, the supplementing of the UN International Force operating in southern Lebanon and its enhancement in numbers, equipment, mandate, and scope of operation is needed to undertake urgent humanitarian and relief work and guarantee stability and security in the south so that those who fled their homes can return. Next, action by the United Nations on the necessary measures to once again put into effect the 1949 Armistice Agreement signed by Lebanon and Israel and to ensure adherence to its provisions as well as to explore possible amendments to or development of those provisions as necessary. And finally, the commitment of the international community to support Lebanon on all levels, including relief, reconstruction, and development needs. As part of this comprehensive plan, and empowered by strong domestic political support and the unanimous backing of the cabinet, the Lebanese government decided to deploy the Lebanese armed forces in southern Lebanon as the sole domestic military force in the area, alongside UN forces there, the moment Israel pulls back to the international border. Israel responded by slaughtering more civilians in the biblical town of Qa'ana. Such horrible scenes have been repeated daily for nearly 4 weeks and continue even as I write these words. The resolution of this war must respect international law and UN resolutions, not just those selected by Israel, a state that deserves its reputation as a pariah because of its consistent disdain for and rejection of international law and the wishes of the international community for over half a century. Lebanon calls once again on the United Nations to bring about an immediate ceasefire to relieve the beleaguered people of Lebanon. Only then can the root causes of this war, Israeli occupation of Lebanese territories and its perennial threat to Lebanon's security, as well as Lebanon's struggle to regain full sovereignty over all its territory, be addressed. I believe that a political resolution rooted in international law and based on these 7 points will lead to long-term stability. If Israel would realize that the peoples of the Middle East cannot be cowed into submission, that they aspire only to live in freedom and dignity, it would be a stepping stone to a final solution of the wider Arab-Israeli conflict which has plagued our region for 60 years. In the 2002 Arab Summit in Beirut, which called for just, comprehensive, and lasting peace based on the principle of land for peace, showed the way forward. A political solution cannot, however, be implemented as long as Israel continues to occupy Arab lands in Lebanon, Gaza, the West Bank, and the Syrian Golan Heights, and as long as it wages war on innocent people in Lebanon and Palestine. As Jawaharlal Nehru said, quote, "The only alternative to coexistence is co-destruction." Enough destruction, dispossession, desperation, displacement, and death. Lebanon must be allowed to reclaim its position in this troubled region as a beacon of freedom and democracy, where justice and the rule of law prevail, and as a refuge for the oppressed, where moderation, tolerance, and enlightenment triumph. That's a statement by the Prime Minister of Lebanon. When we come back, a statement by Ehud Olmert, the Prime Minister of the State of Israel. Stay with us. I'm Mike Molloy.
You're listening to The Mike Molloy Show on Air America Radio.
Hi, I'm David Oreck. I've torture tested my 8-pound Oreck XL vacuum in the world's most grueling proving grounds, luxury hotels. 5 years in a hotel is like 50 years in your home. Folks, you owe it to yourself to try the end product of my 40-year obsession, the 8-pound Oreck XL. Try it risk-free for 30 days. Call 1-800-989-4200, 1-800-989-4200. If it's perfect for hotels, it's perfect for you.
If you want someone to tell you what you want to hear, we're not the place. But if you want someone to tell it like it is, come to Match.com.
You need to start making some different decisions and embracing some different strategies to get what you want.
Match.com is working with Dr. Phil, and our members are loving his insight. We'll show you who. He'll show you how. So come see what Match.com can do for you. Match.com, the number one site for love.
22 past the hour. Now, this is comments from a speech by Ehud Olmert, the Prime Minister for the State of Israel. This was published in Israeli news in an Israeli newspaper Monday a week ago. And given the clock, we may have to interrupt this to take a break and then finish it. Ladies and gentlemen, leaders of the world, I, the Prime Minister of Israel, am speaking to you from Jerusalem in the face of the terrible pictures from Kfar Kana. Any human heart, wherever it is, must sicken and recoil at the sight of such pictures. There are no words of comfort that can mitigate the enormity of this tragedy. Still, I am looking you straight in the eye and telling you that the State of Israel will continue its military campaign in Lebanon. The Israeli Defense Forces will continue to attack targets from which missiles and Katyusha rockets are fired at hospitals, old age homes, and kindergartens in Israel. I have instructed the security forces and the IDF to continue to hunt for the Katyusha stockpiles and launch sites from which these savages are bombarding the State of Israel. We will not hesitate, we will not apologize, and we will not back off. If they continue to launch missiles into Israel from Kfar Kana, we will continue to bomb Kfar Kana. Today, tomorrow, and the day after tomorrow, here, there, and everywhere. The children of Kfar Kana could now be sleeping peacefully in their homes, unmolested, had the agents of the devil not taken over their land and turned the lives of our children into hell. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time you understand. The Jewish state will no longer be trampled upon. We will no longer allow anyone to exploit population centers in order to bomb our citizens. No one will be able to hide anymore behind women and children in order to kill our women and children. This anarchy is over. You can condemn us, you can boycott us, you can stop visiting us, and if necessary, we will stop visiting you. Today I am serving as the voice of 6 million bombarded Israeli citizens who serve as the voice of 6 million murdered Jews who were melted down to dust and ashes by savages in Europe. In both cases, those responsible for these evil acts were and are barbarians devoid of all humanity, who set themselves one simple goal, to wipe the Jewish people off the face of the earth, as Adolf Hitler said, or to wipe the State of Israel off the map, as Mahmoud Ahmadinejad proclaims. And you, just as you did not take these words seriously then, you are ignoring them again now. And that, ladies and gentlemen, leaders of the world, will not happen again. Never again will we wait for bombs that never came to hit the gas chambers. Never again will we wait for salvation that never arrives. Now we have our own Air Force. The Jewish people are now capable of standing up to those who seek their destruction. Those people will no longer be able to hide behind women and children. They will no longer be able to evade the responsibility. Every place from which a Katyusha is fired into the State of Israel will be a legitimate target for us to attack. This must be stated clearly and publicly once and for all. You are welcome to judge us, to ostracize us, to boycott us, and to vilify us. But to kill us? Absolutely not. 4 months ago, I was elected by hundreds of thousands of citizens to the office of Prime Minister of the Government of Israel on the basis of my plan for unilaterally withdrawing from 90% of the areas of Judea and Samaria, the birthplace and cradle of the Jewish people, to end most of the occupation and to enable the Palestinian people to turn over a new leaf and to calm things down until conditions are ripe for attaining a permanent settlement between us. The Prime Minister who preceded me, Ariel Sharon, made a full withdrawal from the Gaza Strip back to the international border and gave the Palestinians there a chance to build a new reality for themselves. The Prime Minister who preceded him, Ehud Barak, ended the lengthy Israeli presence in Lebanon and pulled the IDF back to the international border, leading the land of the cedars to flourish, develop, and establish its democracy and its economy. What did the State of Israel get in exchange for all this? Did we get even 1 minute of quiet? Was our hand outstretched in peace met with a handshake of encouragement? Ehud Barak's peace initiative at Camp David let loose on us a wave of suicide bombers who smashed and blew to pieces over 1,000 citizens, men, women, and children. I don't remember you being so enraged then. Maybe that happened because we did not allow TV close-ups of the dismembered body parts of the Israeli youngsters at the Dolphinarium, or of the shattered lives of the people butchered while celebrating the Passover Seder at the Park Hotel in Netanya. We'll finish this after the break.
But what are you fighting for? Turn on your TV, turn it on so loud, and watch the fool a smiling there and tell me that you're proud. And listen to your leaders, the ones that won the race, as they stand right there before you and lie into your face. If you ever try to buy them, you know what they stand for.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Hello?
Hey, is Mark there?
Yes, it is.
Mark. Wow, you are one hard guy to reach. I am Paul.
Yeah.
I own your old, new Passat. I mean, it's my Passat now. It used to be, you know, the 2004, the GL.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yes. Oh, awesome.
Oh, how do you like it?
It's doing great. Runs like a top.
Oh, good.
Boy, it's great talking to you. Listen, if you ever want to just, you know, swing by and just, you know, sit in a Passat or, you know, watch me drive it, just you give me a call anytime. We'll make that happen.
Volkswagen owners really love their cars, but sometimes they have to let them go. Then we pass them on to you. Certified pre-loved Volkswagens featuring the 112-point inspection. Come take a joyride today.
Will Israel ever see an end to violence? How will the war against Iraq's insurgents impact Israel? Will changes on the Supreme Court have any effect on the Jewish community? Is anti-Semitism in Europe on the rise? What can be done about it? For a look behind the headlines, read the Forward, the nation's Jewish newspaper. The Forward reveals the personalities, motivations, and histories that are fueling the news abroad. The Forward also provides an in-depth look at issues affecting us at home, with comprehensive reports on everything from politics and religion to culture and the arts. It even has its own matchmaking section for Jewish singles. Try 4 weeks free, then be billed $24.95 for another 26 issues. Not satisfied? Just write cancel on the bill and keep the first four issues free.
Call now, 800-641-2626 for the Forward. That's 800-641-2626.
You're listening to Resistance Radio with Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
During the first half hour, we read a statement by Fuad Siniora, who is the Prime Minister of Lebanon, asking that the tragedy of what's occurring there be ended now. We are now in the middle of a statement by Ehud Olmert, a statement to the that was carried in an Israeli newspaper Monday a week ago. Picking up where we left off, Olmert is talking about the non-publicity of blown-to-pieces children in Israel as a result of terrorist activities by Arabs. What can you do? That's the way we are. We don't wave body parts at the camera. We grieve quietly. We do not dance on the roofs at the sight of the bodies of our enemies' children. We express genuine sorrow and regret. That is the monstrous behavior of our enemies. Now they have risen up against us. Tomorrow they will rise up against you. You are already familiar with the murderous taste of this terror, and you will taste more. And Ariel Sharon's withdrawal from Gaza, what did it get us? A barrage of Qassam missiles fired at peaceful settlements and the kidnapping of soldiers. Then, too, I don't recall you reacting with such alarm. And for 6 years, the withdrawal from Lebanon has drawn the vituperation and crimes of a dangerous extremist Iranian agent who took over an entire country in the name of religious fanaticism and is trying to take Israel hostage on his way to Jerusalem, and from there to Paris and London. An enormous terrorist infrastructure has been established by Iran on our border, threatening our citizens, growing stronger before our very eyes, awaiting the moment when the land of the Ayatollahs becomes a nuclear power in order to bring us to our knees. And make no mistake, we won't go down alone. You, the leaders of the free and enlightened world, will go down along with us. So today, here and now, I am putting an end to this parade of hypocrisy. I don't recall such a wave of reaction in the face of the 100 citizens killed every single day in Iraq. Sunnis kill Shiites who kill Sunnis, and all of them kill Americans, and the world remains silent. And I am hard-pressed to recall a similar reaction when the Russians destroyed entire villages and burned down large cities in order to repress the revolt in Chechnya, and when NATO bombed Kosovo for almost 3 months and crushed the civilian population, then you also kept silent. What is it about us, the Jews, the minority, the persecuted, that arouses this cosmic sense of justice in you? What do we have that all the others don't? In a loud, clear voice, looking you straight in the eye, I stand before you openly, and I will not apologize. I will not capitulate. I will not whine. This is a battle for our freedom, for our humanity, for the right to lead normal lives within our recognized legitimate borders. It is also your battle. I pray and I believe that now you will understand that, because if you don't, you may regret it later when it's too late. Reg at TV News Lies, in the middle of this, writes in, revisionist history is rampant in Olmert's speech. He uses the Holocaust like Bush uses 9/11 to justify his aggression. I don't know. All right, it's about 24 before the hour. Let's go to some phone calls here. Marie is calling from Kansas City, Missouri. Marie, welcome to the program. Thanks for holding on.
Hi, Mike.
Hey, Marie.
Oh boy, I don't know what to say. I think it's really suspicious. First of all, I wanted to say I love your show. But I think it's really suspicious that earlier this week they mentioned gas prices would be thoroughly going up because of the pipelines in Alaska corroding. And now the latest thing I see today is it says oil prices are falling now at $2 a barrel due to the thwarted airplane attacks. I don't know if you heard about that or not.
Yes, I have.
I just think that's really kind of funny. It's kind of like another manipulation ploy to try and get us to think that Bush and his neocons are these great people, you know, and now that, you know, they're doing this to thwart and to protect us, that oil prices are going down.
Say that again. I'm sorry.
I said I think that it's really strange that they're doing this. It seems like they're. It's kind of like a subliminal message, you know. Now we're protecting United States and Great Britain. We're protecting Americans, and so therefore they're doing their job protecting us. Here's our bonus, you know. They're lowering the gas prices.
Okay. Are you asking me a question?
No, I'm just saying. I'm just giving you my opinion. I just think it's really strange.
I do too.
Another thing you were wondering about Tony Blair. I suggest he's probably the new 51st governor.
Yeah. I got an answer to my request for somebody from the UK to comment, and I'll try to get to it. I'll try to get to it a little bit later, maybe tomorrow.
Right. But I think that Tony Blair is just another little lapdog. And
I think you're right.
I think we're on a major roller coaster ride, and I don't know what's going to happen in November. I mean, I was hopeful for a long time because of all these indictments on some Bush cabinet members that were, you know, indicted, and we haven't heard anything about them. I didn't know. They were waiting until November, and then they were going to let the cat out of the bag, or what?
I know. I don't think they're going to want any adverse publicity. Don't forget, what's his name? Irving Libby is not to face trial until after the November elections. I think the first of 2007, and that's deliberate to keep whatever is revealed at that trial out of the minds of the wonderful conservatives who are going to try to keep the Senate and the House in control of the Republicans. So you see how that works, right?
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. I think we're on a major roller coaster ride, and I'm getting an awful big headache over it.
I hear that. I'm getting an upset stomach, too. Thanks, Marie.
Thank you.
All right, I appreciate you checking in. A couple of people now are emailing me that the letter that I read that was from Olmert, Dave in San Mateo writes, Mike, the letter was written by Israeli journalist Ben Kaspin, even though it has been circulating on the Internet, is written by Olmert. I'm not sure what that means. Does that mean it was written for him and he made the statement, or it was not written, or it was that Olmert had nothing to do with it? Interesting. That's one of the reasons to thoroughly not trust. Well, that's what Dave says. That's why I hate Internet letters. Thanks, Dave. Wow. Dan is calling from Santa Fe, New Mexico. Dan, welcome to the program. Thanks for holding on.
Yeah, thank you. In line with having certain terror actions or, you know, impending terror actions happen at very convenient moments for Bush and his cronies, and you sort of get the idea that maybe they had their hand in it to make it happen. Mm-hmm. But what I want to point out is that there are public documents that describe how they admit that they're doing this. Have you heard of P2OG?
I have not.
It's a branch of the Defense Department, and it is the Proactive Preemptive Operations Group, which has got to be, well, you can abbreviate it PPOG, but most people abbreviate it P2OG.
Sounds like a propaganda outfit.
Well, more like a bunch of provocateurs.
Yeah, okay.
Now, let me read from, you know, which are taken from the government
documents. Is it very quick? I can't give you more
about... Okay, yes.
Okay, go ahead.
P2OG would launch secret operations aimed at stimulating reactions among terrorists and states possessing weapons of mass destruction, meaning it would prod terrorist cells into action, thus exposing them to quick response attack by U.S. forces, i.e., the group down in Miami, which had a government informant. Let me see, the group in Canada, which were sold ammonium nitrate by the Royal Canadian Mounted Police.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this kind of thing. In other words, they've got a document in public where they say, yes, we are doing this.
God.
And it's under the Department of Defense, and here's one more comment. Yet lawmakers have expressed concern with Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld's push to expand the Pentagon's covert capabilities, mainly because the Pentagon is not subject to rules that require the CIA to report its covert activities to Congress.
My head hurts. My head is hurting. Oh, my God, Dan. You know, it's you would think in a society like ours that is teetering on the brink of fascism that American media would pick up on what you just had there, and it would be all over the place. Like, what, front page New York Times, lead story?
It was all over the Internet.
Yeah, well.
You know, sort of like, well, let's say the intellectual Internet.
Yeah. That usually,
6 months ago.
Oh, God.
And
well,
it
I
never
must have
made
it.
The mainstream press.
Hey, I got to leave it there. Thanks, Dan.
Okay.
I appreciate you checking in. Hey, send me a link. Send me a link to that. I'd love to read it.
Okay.
Send it to
I
Mike.
Will.
Send it to Mike at MikeMalloy.com. We'll be back after the break. Stay with us.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Hello?
Opportunity calling.
I thought you knocked.
That's a cliche.
What do you have?
An opportunity to win.
What's it called?
Sony Card Wish It Win It.
So first I wish?
And then you have a chance to win.
Win what?
$10,000 worth of Sony Entertainment.
That's huge.
That's Sony Card Wish It Win It.
What do I do now?
Go to SonyCardWin.com/experience to create your personal wish list.
I wish for Sony Electronics, CDs, DVDs, and games.
Go now.
Can't wait.
There's a Sony card winner each month.
So there's a chance?
That you'll be the one.
To wish and then win?
That's why it's called Wish It, Win It from Sony card. The card that earns points towards Sony rewards with every use. Go to SonyCardWin.com/experience. No purchase necessary. Offer ends 12/31/06. Void where prohibited. Open only to U.S. residents 18 or older as of date of entry. Odds of winning depend on number of entries. For official rules and alternative method of entry, go to SonyCardWin.com. Sponsored by Sony Electronics, Inc. And remember, life's more entertaining with Sony Card.
is orange, the terror risk is high. They never tell us why, just be prepared. We're never told just how or when or who might be our foe. And everyone I know is really scared. But we finally have a tip for you and me. The solution to surviving World War III. All you need is...
It's 10 before the hour, almost 9 before the hour. Thanks to our New York crew tonight, Justin Nguyen, and the return of our resident rock star Jason Isaac and his faithful companion Rob Granis. All three of these young men engineered our program tonight. David Weissman handled your calls, associate producer of the program. Thanks, David. Also, our thanks to Chris in Minnesota, Mark Marshall, Ben Birch of White Rose Society, Jim in Arkansas, and Catherine Bay, our executive producer. Back to, by the way, the last week in August, I'll be substituting once again for Randy Rhodes, which means we get to tickle the fancy of our New York audience once again, and anyone else who needs their fancy tickled. So that is, what dates are those, Kathy? It includes September the 1st, working back. August 28th, it's 27th?
Yeah, that Monday through Friday, the week that ends September 1st.
All right, Randy will be gone. She takes a lot of vacations, doesn't she? She's like Bush. Maybe she's going down to Crawford, Texas to harass the old bastard.
She's working vacations. Yeah, she's probably going to be down there with Cindy.
So anyway, the last week in August, I'll be filling in for Randy Rhodes' program. And we always have a good time with Randy's audience. Randy has an audience that's just as wacko as the audience of this program. And thank God for that, huh? Okay, back to some phone calls here. In New York City, Mike is calling. Mike, welcome to the program.
Hey, what's up, M Double?
Hey, you are.
So now what? Now I know we almost all died today. So now what? Now what, Mike?
What?
I mean, we almost all died.
Well, I'll tell you what. You know, in a situation like that, you drop back 10 yards and punt.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Who does that benefit to know you almost died? Mike, I just stopped the dude from punching you in your jaw. I mean, what is that? Now what?
It's all crazy. It's all good. It's all wacko. It doesn't matter. This is a game. Look, let me tell you, Mike. Now listen up, all right? Here's what's happened. People like you and me have stumbled onto somebody else's game. It's a game going on right on the street. I remember one of my first times to New York, and I stood there and watched a three-card Monte game and figured it all out and watched other people around me figure it all out. And within about, I don't know, maybe 6 minutes, I had lost
$70. Exactly.
And everybody scattered. And I'm going, wait. That's what's happening. Somebody,
yeah, it feels like a hustle.
It feels like a hustle.
Mike, I'll watch your car to keep people from stealing your car for $800 a week. Hey, Mike, it was this dude. He was just about to jack you, man.
I know.
That's a hustle, man. That's a racket.
I know. It's called the terrorism racket.
That's all it is. You can't find one person that it benefited today to know they almost died. You can't make that make sense. But
no, I can't.
It makes a lot of sense for the people who are paid to tell us that.
That's right. You are way too smart. They're going to come for you.
Oh, snap. Let me duck.
That's right.
Let me duck.
But you know what,
Mike? You got my back, so I'm good.
That's right. You have...
Mike, you in the house. We hate you. We hate people who have houses. No houses.
You've got it figured out, Mike. And here's my question to you. How's come all the folks in Kansas and Georgia and upstate New York and wherever also haven't figured it out?
'Cause they have God.
Oh, I see. All right. Well, I don't know. It's unbelievable. When this happened today, when I saw that old vampire Chertoff on television, I didn't watch any television today because I was killing spiders all over outside my house. The sons of bitches are really attacking my house. I'm living in a demon hole or something's going on, man. I have more spiders on the outside of my house. I went to Home Depot and I bought some spider poison, and I also bought, and I know, don't send emails, people, and tell me about how they killed mosquitoes. I don't want to hear it. And I got me one of those extending aluminum poles so I can reach like 12 feet up in the air. so I don't have to climb up on a ladder, because you climb up on a ladder to get spiders, and they will attack you.
Oh, yeah, they will.
So it was a rough day. At one point, when I came in, because the temperature is 106 degrees down here, I saw Chertoff on the television, and I said to Kathy, are we dead yet? And she said, no, we're not, but you better get back to the spiders. So I know what you're talking about.
Exactly. Remember in the 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s, the CIA would, quote-unquote, thwart things. They didn't need credit for it. That's the hustle right there. Every
That's
time
right.
you
That's
tell
right.
me, you just stopped somebody who almost got me.
Mm-hmm.
That's a hustle.
Of course it's a hustle.
You paid $20 million a year to stop people. Why do you need credit?
That's
Why
right.
Why do you need to tell me that?
That's right. Well, like you said, in the 50s, 60s, 70s, and whenever, the CIA would go about its dirty work or its good work or its blood work or whatever the hell they were doing, overthrowing governments and stopping plots and killing folks and stopping other folks from being killed. Nobody talked about it.
They didn't say squat.
No, nobody talked
that
about it.
The whole thing was we can't even put their names on the wall because they were so
That's right.
in their thing. We can't even tell you what they did. But this, every other day,
That's
Mike,
right.
I just stopped somebody. He was almost going to bust in your house. That'll be another grand.
Yeah,
make
right.
me mayor again. See, that's the thing, dude. It points to, trust me.
Uh-huh.
It points to, I got you. See, you need me.
That's
you
right.
need me to protect you. That's the only place this points. I dare anybody listening to me and you right now to call in and say how they benefited from learning how they almost.
Yeah.
got killed today.
I know. Mike.
Love you, bro.
I got
a little
go.
Saying, man, we always say, Mike Malloy, and everybody says, that's my boy.
That's my boy, Mike Malloy. Thanks, Mike. I appreciate it.
All
always
right,
good to hear from you, pal. Take care.
Take care.
Peace. Take care. That's it. That's today's entire events in one phone call. That's it. Thank you, Mike. I'll see you tomorrow night. All right? Take care. Watch your back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America Radio.
Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
Pet owners praise it. The hotel staff loves it. Parents rave about it. Allergy sufferers applaud it. Senior citizens are agog about it. Now it's your turn. Hi, I'm David Orrick. Everybody's singing the praises of my 8-pound Orrick XL because it's the best vacuum that ever touched their floors. Try one risk-free for 30 days. Call 1-800-989-4200. 1-800-989-4200.
Real people are sharing their good news about Aleve.
My name is Art Bivens, and this is my story. I have a folk group called Cool Old Dudes.
As I was going over Kilgara Mountain.
I have arthritis in my fingers. It makes it very hard to press down on the strings. Our bass player said, man, you got to try some Aleve. Just to shut Eric up, I tried the Aleve, and he was right. I'm back in the game. I can play guitar again.
Real people, real stories, real good news. Share your good news at AleveGoodNews.com. Use as directed for minor arthritis pain.